yourself.
Hello!
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 Hello and welcome to the...
Welcome, welcome, welcome!
To the Penny Mortos podcast. Hello, hello, welcome. Yes, here we are again.
I'm excited, mate.
Chris is very excited. And it's not because Kabaddi's back on Sky Sports.
That's a factor to our excitement, yes. But not the full fact.
Yeah. It's because of our topic.
Yes.
Right up Chris's street, this. It's the Carnival Freak Show. And it's, in particular, one of the freaks from the sideshow, Lobster Boy.
Lobster Boy!
Our favourite crustacean.
Favourite child crustacean.
This story's so messed up on so many levels. On so many... Yeah. There's reading through it, there was just a new... like explosion of excitement around every corner, through every line. There was just something just unbelievable about the old tale. But believe, it's true.
It is. It's all true. It just kind of goes to show how the world has changed in the not so distant past, really, because it's not that long ago that they were carting poor Lobster Boy from town to town.
Well, we were talking to the 90s.
Yeah, in early 90s.
And they were still... I think it still goes on today in America.
Oh, no, yeah, probably.
Well, that's it. We are in America.
I mean, people say, you know, it's objective and they're, like, dehumanising them. But, you know, these people... Like, I mean, we're going to get into them. The Popeye boys and the bearded ladies and the lobster boys of this world. But what else are they going to do?
What?
Do you know what I mean?
The human blockhead. Gene, what's he going to do?
I mean, I don't...
The giant man.
I'd still pay if they come to town.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say that I'd still fuck it.
No, I mean, I'd still, like, give him a few quid for a butcher's.
No, I think that's...
And is it any
that's
different?
That's quite right.
Is it any different than the modern-day strip club?
I don't think so. You're paying to see something you don't normally see.
Yeah.
If you've...
You know, you're paying to go and admire... the human form. Well, you just, you know, it's just the opposite end of the scale, you know, something that you don't...
You know, well, if they're making a few quid out of it and they're happy to
do it,
and
you're happy, he's happy, everyone's happy. We all go on with sticky trousers.
That's just you.
Yes. So off we go on our merry machine to America, the good old US of A, because where else would you
USA,
go to see a freak show at the carnival? Lovely America. And the Lobster Boy, to give him his correct title,
yes,
is Grady Franklin Stiles Jr.
Oh, it sounds a bit like Frankenstein.
It does, I thought that.
Franklin Stiles. Born in 1937 and won in a long line of lobsters.
To be official, are we going official with it?
Yeah, we'll give it its correct title. It's a disability called... Ectrodactyly, which...
Lobster claws.
I mean, if you log on and have a look at Facebook when we release the episode, you know, we'll put some pictures up. But basically, this condition, it causes fingers to fuse together to make full-on, like, lobster-looking
pincers.
Claws. Pincers.
Great for grabbing asses.
Yeah.
It looks like he's doing the rock sign.
Yeah, he's got the arms out constantly.
Yeah, like, constant arms.
Oh, great, he was rocking out non-stop.
Yeah.
He loved to
and
rock.
And also, it affects the legs as well.
Yeah, it can affect your leg, your arms, all legs, can't it?
And Lobster Boy, he was full-on double lobster.
He was full double lobster, but it can... The thing is, it's genetic... And it can skip a generation as well. Yeah. They say that the only cure is to adopt. Yeah.
I think I was
it's not
just
really a cure,
say.
That is it?
Well, no, yeah. The
it's
only,
more a swerve.
The only way of solving it. Yeah.
It's just nip it in the bud. Just adopt quick.
There's going to be not lots of nipping ponds, I imagine. You didn't even realise you'd done that.
No,
did
I didn't.
But the Grady, the Stiles family weren't into it. They wanted the line to run strong.
Oh, yeah, because they were making a fortune out of it. I mean, let's not deny that they used their disability to their advantage. And they've been going on for over, well, by the time Grady was born in the 30s, been going on for about over 150 years. Since
a long line of pincers.
The first pincer started out in the freak show. So
well, what are you going to do otherwise with pincers?
Don't know.
Oh, the hell.
Crush nuts.
How does he wipe his ass?
Bob roll.
but we're just two pincers, like, he'd struggle.
You would. That is one thing you would struggle with.
I'm sure you could do it if you had to, couldn't you?
What about masturbating?
I reckon masturbating would be a whiz.
No problem, you just have...
be possibly even more enjoyable.
Just grabbing on dead hard. Getting your pincers round.
What do they do? Wicked can crushing you. I don't know.
Well, because of the condition, they had very weak legs as well. And so a lot of the people who had this condition...
They just used to scurry.
They used to get around on their arms. So a lot of them had really powerful shoulders and upper body strength because they had to walk on their hands. Because before they invented wheelchairs, they had to like drag themselves about on a, I don't know, on a mat or something.
On a mat.
Skateboard would be all right.
Well, they haven't invented them yet, haven't they? And you've got to remember...
Skateboard would be all right.
This is key to the story later.
Oh, yeah. Well, Grady Senior, he had three kids. We had Margaret, who was normal, fully functional, working arms and legs. Mm-hmm. Nice little girl. Sarah... Lobster.
Do what? You know when you put a lobster in a boiling hot pan of water, they squeak, don't they?
And they turn red. Same with Grady.
Yeah.
Why do you put him in a boiling hot pan of water?
Yeah. He spilled his brew on his arm. It just went bright red.
I'd scream and go red if someone put me in a boiling pan of water. Yeah. Oh, I just love that mental image. I suppose it's from reading too many Beano annuals when I was young. Of like some woman in a giant cooking pot, like with an onion and a carrot floating around while a bloke stirs it up.
I
could carry on film.
I think we need to establish it before we get into the gloom. There's going to be three Grady Styles in this episode.
Yeah, they're not Grady very creative with the names, are they?
No, Grady Senior, Grady Junior. And then Grady the Third.
Grady
but we'll get there. But at the minute, we're on Grady Senior, who has two kids, like we said, one normal, 10 fingers, 10 toes. Sarah, she's a lobster. And then the first boy on the scene, who is Grady Styles, who has the most extreme case that the family has seen. But two claws. and two legs, stone growth, and stopped off at the knees, which is unfortunate. I'm sure we'll all agree.
Well, yeah, well, it's not desirable, is it?
But I think the dad wanted...
He wanted a long line of lobsters.
He wanted a long line of lobsters, indeed, because it meant more moolah. Yeah. More moolah on the county, because from... Lobster boy then went to the lobster family.
Lobster family.
Roll up, come and see the lobster family. Mm. The freakish family telling tales from the bottom of the sea.
You could get a job there doing that, Chris.
Born in Pittsburgh. Yeah. The family work. Apparently, life for Grady Jr., his dad went off touring with a carnival. He was lobster boy for Grady Jr., life wasn't very easy growing up in Pittsburgh.
Why? Because he were a lobster.
Because he was a lobster. And you know what? People stir.
Oh, yeah.
And people point. And they poke fun. Especially to a young boy with pincers. And he's not nice. So it was hard for him growing up. Especially in the 30s. And there was women said to spit at him. To fend off the evil spirits.
Oh, that's
you've
a
got
bit
to imagine. Ah. No, it's the 30s, isn't it? It's the 30s.
People are easily offended.
And you know, at school he'd be called freak and pincer boy.
He's dragging himself about on his mat.
Yeah.
No, it's not the age of enlightenment. Well, is it ever?
I don't.
Philosophical question.
But things are going to change for our Grady Junior.
Why?
because his dad, I think he grows up old enough to, and then his dad thinks...
His dad thinks, oh, fuck school, let's go and make some money.
Exactly.
Get me out, sure.
Well, he's old enough now to go on with a carny, isn't he?
Yeah.
And now it is the birth of the lobster family. Lobster family. Not just Lobster Junior. Or Lobster...
Lobster Senior. Senior and
there's
and
lobsters everywhere.
Do you think you'd eat lobster, or would it be a bit weird?
I'd definitely eat lobster.
What, if you were the lobster boy?
If you were the lobster boy.
Yeah, because you wouldn't need them crushers to crush the car.
Just use your hands.
Just use your hands, it's easier.
Well,
would it be like eating one of your own, though? Yeah, this is the question.
Cannibalism. A lovely lobster thermidor.
Oh, that's what he should have named one of his sons. Yeah.
Thermidor.
Thermidor. Here he is. Lobster thermidor.
But I think they always made sure when they weren't performing, they wore gloves because they didn't want to give freebies out, you see.
Right. Yeah, well, that's your trade, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's what Grady Styles Sr. drummed into Junior.
Always wear the gloves.
Wear your gloves when you're not performing. Don't be giving out freebies.
Did they have fingerprints?
No, they just have little stump marks.
Yeah. Always wear your gloves. You'd have to be specially made. We love grandma.
You know when you like mock answering the phone? I bet they'd be mint at that. No effort required at all.
Oh, or are you talking about next door neighbours chatting all the time?
No, yeah.
Oh, she that Julie, she never shuts up, does she? It's going to be very visual, this one. We should have done a video episode.
No, yeah.
Oh, once you've seen the picture, you'll be fine. But anyway, so Grady, he's on the carny circuit, basically, most of his life, all his life. Mm. Grows up on it, gets married on it, gets pissed in it. It's all he knows, really.
Probably gets pissed off.
Well, I've got a nice little thing here that... When Grady Sr. got Grady Jr. decided to create the lobster family, they joined the Loro Brothers Touring Freak Show, which was billed as a 10-in-1 freak show. 10 freaks, one tent. The freaks included...
Let me guess.
Just let me guess. Go on.
The man with the massive wang.
No big dings.
Three titted woman.
No three tits.
Scale lizard man. Blow.
Yes, we have got scale lizard man. The scaly skin. Bit of probably just one of them fat cubs.
Bit of psoriasis.
With flaky elders.
We've got psoriasis.
Eczema.
What about labia woman?
To be more precise.
What
the fuck was that? To be more precise, it was Emmett the Alligator Boy.
Oh, Emmett the Alligator
Boy. Oh, right. I've heard of him.
No, I don't really get Priscilla the Money Girl.
Is she rich?
No, she was just covered from head to toe in her. She was a bearded lady, but it also covered the rest of her body. Why she was the money girl, I don't know.
Because she made money.
Because money came out of a vajay.
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking. Pound coins. Bigging everywhere.
Like a...
Coming out at the bottom of her
dollars,
own.
Like a one-armed bandit,
yeah.
Pull me beard and see what happens.
Ka-ching. The Stonehead Man.
Stonehead Man, yeah.
He could smash bricks over his head on a daily basis.
I bet he lived a long life.
Isn't it? Yeah. Rubber Man.
Bendy.
Who could stretch his skin. I mean, you still get these today.
Yeah, I've seen them on Freak or Unique.
No, they just have it. All it is these days is these fat bastards who have lost a lot of weight.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Loose skin.
Had a bloody intervention. Lost 25 stone.
An intervention. You sound like a grandma. He's had an intervention.
Popeye boy.
Popeye.
Yeah. He was a 7-year-old who could pop his eyes out spectacularly.
He's been on telly not so long ago, a fella who could do that.
Independently as well, to a tune. That's good, isn't it?
Hey, that is really good.
Genuinely
impressed.
What else have we got? Now, you see, we're scraping the barrel a bit here. The woman with the largest feet in the world.
How big were they?
I don't know, I haven't got record of that, but I'm, you know.
Size 12s, I reckon. Like
10s.
Oh, there's got to be massive, like, big honking stonkers. Big cheesy, big cheesy whoppers.
I'm not having that. Carry on.
The world's skinniest man. So, I don't know, just
impressive.
Starving. Someone with malnutrition.
Yeah, he just locked him up. He just locked him up. He wanted
cages.
With tigers.
And then the next one, which I wish I had a picture of that we could show, but the mule-faced man.
Mule-faced man? Wow.
What did he do?
Great ugly bastard.
Yeah.
Why the long
but,
face?
But this this particular 10-in-1 freak show was run by the Loro brothers.
Yeah.
And as we said, Grady Sr. took along Grady Jr. And they were billed as the stars of the show, the Lobster family, and people who come from miles around to come and see the Lobster family from the bottom of the ocean. How they survived that long out of water, nobody knows. But I've got a little quote here from one of the Loro brothers who was interviewed around the time. It's like late 1930s, and he did an interview about how he found his freaks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This was the brother who was kind of the star searcher, so to speak.
Oh right, like the Simon Cowell of his day.
Yeah, Simon Cowell of the freak world, the Tyler Spotter. And these were his words. Freak hunting has become difficult in recent years. I blame the medical profession. Doctors are curing a lot of the ailments now, and if left alone, would produce good saleable freaks. Them bastard doctors.
Damn doctors.
Fucking healing people.
Turn up here with your medicine and your cures and all that.
What do you think now? All bloody plastic surgery. You wouldn't be having any of it.
No.
But going now that Grady Jr. is on the road with his dad, it often meant that, they were... Well, basically, he pulled him out of school, didn't he? I know.
I mean, he didn't need to learn to read or write, did he?
The dollar signs were there.
He could already make his money. He'd got his job for life. He's lucky.
Out of school, you don't need any of that learning. What are you doing?
Yeah, just come with me.
Took him on the road. But if you were in the carnival trade, you wintered in Florida.
Yeah, in Gibsonton. Very nice.
Yeah, very nice. Lovely, sunny. Ooh. Because you're on the road all the time, you want to be... chilling out,
I think the Stiles family were the pioneers in the carnivals going to Gibsonton.
Yeah.
Like, before the Stiles family started going there regularly during the off-season, they sort of all, like, went back to their own hometowns, but, like, going back to Pittsburgh in the middle of winter when it's freezing fucking cold.
To that.
It's crap, isn't it? You know, this is your time off. So they set up in Gibsonton, and then all the other carnies thought, well, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Imagine though, go camping there. You turn up and you come out of your tent, you see one bloke that's 2 foot tall.
Well, Gibsonton, Florida, like you said, they set a trend. All the carnies then start, and to this day, people in the circus and the carnivals have got special permits for keeping their animals, keeping elephants in gardens and lions.
They were the forerunner of the disabled counter.
Well,
because they had law counters for all midgets and what you've been talking about.
The only post office in America with a purpose built.
Absolutely, yeah. I did hear about that.
For dwarfs.
Dwarf counter.
Oh. But the best little tale here about Gibsonton. Obviously, all the carnies used to come. They used to winter there. But, well, Grady said it was brilliant. He loved it because he felt
accepted.
Part of the community and accepted because
he
wasn't stirred at and picked on because of his deformities.
Yeah, everyone was weird.
Yeah.
Like, everyone had their own things in their own.
Although you have to feel like a little bit like the clowns and stuff. At least we could just, like... Hang up.
Yeah, have a wash.
Hang it up and go to the pub.
No, I'm not knocking around with these buggers.
But the Stiles lived across the road from Giant Camp.
Okay. Where they had all really high doors.
Yeah. Well, Giant Camp was run by Al Tamani.
Oh, yeah,
Tamini. He was an 8'4" giant.
Yeah.
Billed as the tallest man in the world. Size 27 shoes. And he ran the camp.
I'm not fucking surprised. I'd be backing me orders if I were that tall.
He ran the camp with his wife, Jeannie Smith. Now, as I said, I was 8'4", giant of a lad, man mountain. Wife, Jeannie, just over 2 foot, no legs, twisted arms. Yeah. And they told the world as the world's weirdest couple.
You're not fucking kidding. Jesus Christ.
But not only did they have the camp, he also ran a bait and sandwich shop on site.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Yeah, she's still doing
just
that.
Just bonk her on counter.
He won't go around with a 6 foot 6 inch, would he? Been out.
I wonder if he just like picked her up and carried her about under his arm.
Come on, Walt.
She's just
show?
On his shoulder. Hey, you know, first thing that comes...
That's the first thing I thought. I'm sorry.
What?
How did they? How did
they? Could just pick her up and pop her on, couldn't they?
Well, that's what I thought.
put a rope round, pull it, she'll be like a bloody spinning top.
No legs, actually.
Where's the hole then? Just a hole. She's got the hole.
She's got the hole, just no legs. And she's still only 2 foot.
What about, I thought she was just cutting half.
The giant man. Well, she's thingy. She's no legs, but she's still got the bits.
She's still got... It's all working. That's what you mean.
Well, it's all working, yeah.
She's got a front bum and a back bum. Just stumps.
I dread to think how big his cock would be.
Well, if everything's in proportion, it's going to be...
Size
it's
what?
It's going to be coming out of her mouth.
Size 24 feet? Yeah. Be hanging down his bloody pant leg.
You're only going to get topping.
Trouser snake.
We're lucky we got helmet in.
Well, the elephant's trunk.
It might have been an evil twist and he might have had a little micro penis.
Yeah, as well as we've got tiny woman and massive man, we've got three-legged goats and other animal oddities, wire walkers. So it's really, you can imagine what
animal
kind of,
oddities.
Like, you know, like bloody dogs with cat's legs and...
Two dicks. Dogs with two dicks.
Dogs with two dicks.
Push me, pull you.
Ponies with like lion's heads,
llamas.
Stuff like that.
They basically just cut animals up and sewed them back together.
There was a goat with three legs though. I think they might have done that on purpose to set the scene. That might have been a freak show in itself.
So everything's rosy in the garden at this point, isn't it? Pretty much, you know.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, it is. It is
making
a
living, wintering in the nice sunshine of Florida, but this peaceful time. Can't last forever, can it, you know?
And they're making a nice living at it, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. They're doing all right.
As the lobster.
It sounds, to be honest, it sounds like quite a nice place, you know. They've settled for the balmy weather. You know, it's in Florida, isn't it? Or nearby.
Yeah, yeah. I bet it would be a bloody red lobster out there.
Oh, no. It's, you know, lovely weather. And stuff.
He's got factor 40 on.
Get that sunblock on.
So anyway...
You get snappy in this weather. Anyway.
As the years go by...
Oh, I can't be doing with this. I'll be clawing bloody wells in a minute.
As the years go by, Grady Senior... retires from the carnival
to a rock pool.
Retires to a shallow rock pool. And Grady Jr.
until he was caught by an unsuspecting youth with a bucket.
Grady Jr. He carries on the family business, but obviously he's growing up and he starts courting. And he meets a lovely young lady by the name of Mary Teresa.
Oh, Mary Teresa.
Was also known as the Blade Box Girl and later in life as the Electrified Girl.
Well, a nice little thing about it. I read that when Grady first saw Mary, he thought she was really attractive because she joined the carnival as a ticket girl after abuse from her stepfather. He'd been trying it on a bit.
Fisting her?
Well, he'd been trying it on a bit.
Can I just clarify that Chris did a fisting action then?
Well, no. Well, from what I read, he was
He was a bad man.
He was a bad man.
Very, very bad man.
Very, very naughty boy. So she ran away and joined the carnival.
As a ticket girl.
As a ticket girl. Yeah. Now, Grady liked her from day one, but being a ticket girl... He was beneath his level.
Yeah.
I mean, if he asked me, beggars can't be choosers.
Well, oh, no, there's a pecking order. And it's got to be pecked.
But I mean, he's not... Oh. he's no like he's no oil painting, is he?
Oh, no.
Come on. But yeah, there's the
good
levels. But she worked her way up, like you said, ticket girl, then she became a, what is it, boxy, stabby.
Yeah, she was like a magician's assistant, you know, when they shove all the...
Derry McGee.
Knives through, yeah.
Like throwing knives at a wheel that she's attached to.
He said she was fit with a pretty good body. But it wasn't until, like you said, she became the
electrified girl. Yeah,
and that's when the sparks began to fly.
So they got married. And they produced children. They produced Donna, who was a normal.
Oh.
And they produced Kathy, who was a lobster. And then...
Can you imagine the anticipation? Because they didn't have scans then, did they?
No, like, you'd just be there waiting. You'd either have a net or a blanket.
How many she got? 10? 2? 10?
That was 10 fingers and 10 tones. Drown her.
Fuck that, drown
her. Mum midwife waiting with nets. And then other midwife waiting with...
Put that in a ticket collector.
Moses basket. Which one do I use?
Yeah, so Grady only had two daughters with his first wife.
Donna and Kathy.
Now, Grady, he's a bit of a character, shall we say. He was... liked to drink.
Pisshead.
He was a terrible, terrible drunk. And
oh,
he was,
I've heard
this. It's strange, like, when you talk to the other carnies, they all say he was like a dead lovely bloke.
He even had normal mates, didn't he?
Couldn't do enough for you, giving with his time, you know, help you out. But as soon as he
got
a drink in him, he was a...
Nasty bastard.
Bastard. And he was really abusive to his family.
He'd like... Because of... He obviously had the legs as well, that he became really powerful and strong in his top half, you know, like...
Yeah
so that on. Coupled with having a drink in him, threw his weight about
But apparently become, like, really powerful, and, like, he'd even trained his claws to be really...
Beefy claws.
Well, apparently he can crush stuff with his hand. Crush can, no problem. That if he became... If anybody bothered him whilst he was drinking... Grady shot out his claw and slapped them in the face.
Imagine that noise.
Those who were hit by his claw said it was like being hit by a 2x4 board.
Yeah.
Before his victim could stand, Grady would scuttle over and headbutt them in the chest. He would then place his claw around their neck and begin to squeeze.
Oh,
nasty bastard.
Snippy fucking.
Can you imagine that?
I'm sorry. A local boozer.
I know, it's like the worst pub fight you've ever been.
I know. Headbutt in the chest.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this behaviour was there to stay. He was a terrible drunk, and his wife, Mary Teresa... She said the whiskey changed her husband from a caring family man into an abusive brute.
He was more abusive to... I don't know if it was like a psychological thing, that he was more abusive to the tenor.
Yeah, he was more abusive to Donna, his first daughter. And it said because there was an element of jealousy or resentment that she was a normal.
I reckon she kept giving him the finger.
Or clapping.
You fucking tenor.
Well, this. Mary Teresa, she wasn't standing for it. To be fair, you know, she did the what must have been tough, and she stood up for herself and her kids, and she said, "That's it.
Enough's enough.
Enough's enough. I'm leaving you. The marriage is over." And that was in 1973, and as they split up and divorced, Grady moved back to Pittsburgh, his hometown, with the kids, Donna and Kathy, and Mary Teresa. She married a midget. Not any midget. The world's smallest man.
What's going on, though?
I don't.
Why could she not just turn over a new leaf?
I know.
Find herself a knife mechanic or a postman.
It's a nice fella.
She's clearly got
a thing.
A fetish.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
She loves a bit of it.
She loves a bit of stubby. Yeah.
So they move back to Pittsburgh, where things sort of settle down after a few months and years, and Grady meets Barbara, his second wife.
Oh, so he remarries. And...
Yeah, he remarries a baby.
They remarry, and they produce Grady III, the lobster.
So that's the, Grady the III, who we're talking about. The heir to the throne, the lobster throne.
And Mary Teresa, her and Midget Man, they also have a child called the Human Blockhead, also known as Harry Glenn Newman Jr.
And what does he do? Has he got a massive head?
He nails up his nose into his skull or something.
Oh!
He's got an IQ of 70, which is hardly surprising. He keeps performing lobotomies on himself. So after a few years, things have settled down, ticking over. But Grady's eldest daughter, Donna, she starts coming of age.
Oh!
Oh, well, like
who's
that
is gonna
it.
Who's she going to be with, eh?
Like that
who's
is
she
it.
Who's she going to be with? Bloody flamethrower, or sword eater, midget man. Who is it for Dana? What's it called? Donna?
Dana. Is that because the X-Files are starting
maybe,
back?
Yeah,
she's 17 and she falls in love, and it's love's young dream. And it's beautiful. Grady's not particularly happy, though, because she runs away with a boyfriend. Because Grady's been a bit of a bastard, like, I don't want you going out and I don't want you doing this. And she's like, you know, terrible teens. Every family goes through it. And she fucks off with this lad and says, I'm going to marry him because I'm pregnant. Which isn't strictly true. She isn't pregnant. But she's using that as an excuse.
So she can get married.
To get married to this guy.
Can I just interrupt with a little quote?
Of course you can.
Got a nice little, just fitting in nicely here.
By all means.
Just to give a real idea of, you know, the ins and outs of Gibbtown and what's going on amongst these...
Freaks.
These lovely, unfortunate people. Like you said, Donna had met this young lad, and apparently she was skipping school a bit to spend some time with this lad. To which Donna's teacher paid a home visit.
Oh.
Quote from Grady himself. Well, this teacher came round to talk about Donna missing school, but she liked my claws. So we had sex right there in the house. And she kept coming back. Everyone I have sex with wants to have sex with my claws. They love it when I use my claws.
What? Are you for real?
Direct quote. The teacher went round and she ended up being claw banned.
Why have I come round? Oh, forget Donna, yeah. Go on.
Hey, I'll tell you what, she was getting checked up. She probably got crabs.
Very good, very good.
Oh, I bet he's a good bean flicker.
Well, I was thinking like double...
Oh, going for the...
Spocking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's actually crossed my mind, but I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to be that person.
One in the pink, one in the stink.
Also known as the claw bang.
She's come round with a jar of Hollandaise to have a party.
Seafood sauce. Oh. Get the seafood sauce on me tits. This escalated quickly.
Oh no.
Well, anyway, who knows what happened? But he's missed a trick there, really. He should have gone into adult movies.
Why not?
I bet he'd have got paid more for that than being a carny.
Then he would have been gawped at. Yeah, maybe. I mean, what kind of era are we...
70s,
this. 70s, so yeah.
Porno was a thing then, wasn't it?
Although them nippers getting caught in big bushes, like...
I ain't got my claws stuck.
I'm all tangled.
Stuck in your massive thatch.
I'm stuck in your net. Get me out.
It's all flooding back.
Yeah, he probably had like nightmares about that.
I can't believe this story is just...
So anyway, Grady did not approve of this relationship.
Yeah, he didn't like him.
And it's kind of rumoured that Donna's boyfriend stuck up for her against Grady and confronted Grady. You know, because like we said earlier, like, they're always getting on her because she's a normal.
Yeah.
But anyway, Donna and her boyfriend have been out shopping for wedding dresses that day.
In a convenience store, I believe.
Yeah, well, they didn't have a lot of money.
Nip down Fazda for a wedding dress.
They didn't have a lot of money. So they went shopping for a wedding dress, which is nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
So then they went back to the house and seemed like Grady might have warmed a bit to the situation.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, though, while they went shopping, he went to the bar and had 12 whiskies.
Oh, well, that's probably why he warmed.
It's probably why we're fucking roasting.
So he said to Donna, go and get him. I want to have a private talk, man to man, mano a mano.
I want Grady... The Styles. Third at the minute.
Well, he's only a little...
Just a nipper.
Squincher, yeah. Yes, a nipper, very good. So Donna goes and gets him, brings him up, and he says, like, right, shoot, it's man stuff, this. And as Donna's walking off down the porch and down the drive to give him a bit of privacy, the next thing she hears, two shotgun blasts.
Oh,
boom!
Grady has just shot him point blank,
blown
him away.
On the wedding?
On the night of the eve of the wedding.
Evil bastard.
Bested.
Donna goes running back up onto the porch. What the fuck have you done? What the fuck have you done? That's not a direct quote. I'm guessing that's what she said.
What the fuck?
Well, this is a direct quote.
OMG. You shot my boyfriend in the chest!
And she runs up and she says, Grady was just sat on the porch, smiling his head off. And when she's saying
maybe,
to him...
Was he just holding his hand up to his face?
He said, I told you I would kill him. So...
I told you I would kill him.
That's a direct quote. And he was true to his word because he did shot him twice. So... There you go.
With
he's murdered.
Well, there's not much left.
Blown him to, well, a shotgun from point blank.
So surely that's the end then for Grady.
Well, you'd think so.
Sent down
you?
The rest of his life.
He gets brought to trial where he openly confesses to the killing. And he was convicted to third degree murder.
That's a long time in prison.
Now, I don't understand the first, second and third degree system in America, but let's just say it's like...
Bad. It's really
not,
bad.
It's not full bad.
A bit now.
Yeah, this is like the least bad of murder, which is... Okay. And it was said that the trial was a media circus.
Hey!
Yes, very good.
Yes, it was. I've got... No, I was thinking, if you want to be... Like on jury service in a trial.
This is the one.
This is the one. Because I've got it here. Because, like we said, Grady was a bit abusive and things, but he was still quite loved in the community.
Oh, he was loved by his carnies.
And he, you know, there was character witnesses brought in. Now, can you imagine? Maybe you've got like a drinking under the influence in America.
DUI,
yeah, yeah. Maybe you've got a bit of a trial waiting. You're waiting, going. Next minute, the Grady lot pull up with his character witnesses. Called him first, the bearded lady. Second, a midget. And his third character witness, Paul Fishbar, aka the fat man. £600. I'm not. What's that in stone? What are we talking?
Oh, it's about 40 odd stone.
40 odd stone. Fat bastard. Couldn't fit in the witness chair. had to sit on the floor in front of the witness.
Oh,
poor lad. He must have had wheeled him in.
He chewed a lot as an aside. The fat man and the lobster chewed a lot as a thing later on.
Yeah.
You know, as a sideshow.
Oh, yeah.
Lobster and blubber.
Yeah.
But and then apparently Grady was brought on the witness stand. You know, even though he was like on the sideshow and he was just plonked in front of people to gawp at, he was a showman and he'd give a speech to the...
Oh, yeah, he'd just sit there.
He knew
intimate
people warmed to him, didn't he?
And apparently, whilst putting the witness stand, he gave the performance of his life.
Yeah.
And, well...
So anyway, he was not sent to prison. Why, I hear you ask.
Why?
Well,
because no prison in America was equipped to care for someone with such disabilities.
Extradecadactyl.
Good try, try again. I like electrodactyl, that's kind of like you've got magic electric powers.
What, so why can they... He probably cut his way out.
Because he's disabled.
Cut his way out.
Yeah, well, they couldn't accommodate him.
He'd be crushing all them licence plates, wouldn't he?
It
costs more money than what they're making.
Because of his deformities, and also, at this time now, he's got cirrhosis of the liver from being a pisshead, and he's got emphysema from smoking 60 cigs a day. So,
how bloody hell do you hold down?
I mean, in the nip. In the film Freaks, I've seen a man with no arms and no legs roll a cig from scratch, smoke it, and set it on fire with a match. So, let's judge. If you want a cig, you'll get one. So, anyway, instead of going to prison, he gets 15 years probation, which seems rather lenient. It's like it's not even under house arrest or anything.
Is that just like...
So he can just do what he wants?
Yeah, basically. But if he gets nicked
again... If he does anything again,
then they'll find a way to bang him up. Proper good.
So we just got a slap on the claws.
There we go.
This is good, though. After getting his 15 years probation, Grady soon skipped town, so he didn't have to pay his lawyer's fees.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So the lad gets him off with murder. And he still does one.
Good lad.
Back on the road.
Yeah. But he stops drinking now.
Well, that's all right, isn't it? He cleaned up his act.
He stops drinking and he cleans up his act, as you say. And he...
Dry on the wagon.
No, he remarries his first wife.
Oh,
Marie.
So is she's had enough of Midget Man.
So her and Midget Man have split. Grady and Barbara have split.
Life's too short.
And Mary says that her love for Grady just drove her back. She couldn't bear to be away from him. Because, you know, she was just in love with him. He was charming. He was, you know, he was...
No, we all know it's because he was good with his claws.
Yeah.
As we've previously heard.
But we think the truth is that as well as being a goddamn sexual T-Rex, he was... he had money, so he could pay the bills.
Ah, yeah.
Midget Man wasn't making the money. No.
Well, I heard that this was it now for the, you know, the old gang's back together. Yeah. So to with one new addition, because now we've got Glenn, the 6 foot.
Yeah, the big blockhead. Giant blockhead man. All living happily.
So we got. So they go back on the road now with Grady's. He sets up his own.
Yeah, he sets up his own gig now.
Now I've got to hear all the ones that were on show, all the family back together. Glenn, like we said, a blockhead, 6 foot four, IQ of 79. Donna.
Donna.
Donna's back after she...
She's back with...
I mean, that's a bit mad, isn't it?
Who's she married? Did she marry Joe, I think?
She found...
She married a fella called Joe.
So she starts in the Gorilla Illusion.
Yeah.
Where Donna turns into a gorilla. Kathy, the other one, is she the tenor, Kathy?
No, Donna's
she's
the tenor.
She's a good singer. She's a good singer, Donna, isn't she?
No, I think Kathy's a good singer.
I don't
singer.
Know.
No, I thought she was a tenor.
Hey!
But Kathy and her husband ran the Animal Oddities, in which they had a two-headed raccoon.
Yeah. Kathy has married Tyrell.
Tyrell.
And they go on to have a little lobster as well in the future called Misty.
Come on. No, it's not fucking called Misty.
Misty Lobster.
What the fuck? It gets worse.
But the stars of the show, Grady Jr., now have a little cushion for Grady the Third as the Lobster family was reborn.
The Lobster family is back again.
Ah, but things soon start to decline again because...
Oh, he's not falling off wagon, has he?
He has. He started boozing again. And this is where things start to go seriously wrong.
Spiral out of control. Yeah, I mean, I've got a quote here. whilst he was abusing... He got into abusing again, didn't he? Slapping him about.
Slapping him about with his little...
Slapping, headbutting, clawing.
He sounds like...
And apparently he said, he'd often say, I killed before and got away with it. Yeah. I can do it again.
Yeah, I think his new ways lasted about 2 weeks. And then Mary Teresa said, he soon began drinking again and watching TV in his undies. And he was even more abusive than before. Yeah, you're right, Grady felt invincible because he got away with murder. And he did threaten his family a lot with that quote. Now, Mary Teresa, she's regretting getting back with Grady. She wished she'd stayed with the midget man. But she's not.
I mean, he's good with them claws, but...
And she didn't do out my ass.
I tell you what, oh, he batters me black and blue. I mean, both upstairs and down.
Sick of him nipping me ass.
And it turns into a case of kill or be killed.
Oh!
It was just a wit dwarf.
The only way to put an end to his drunk beating, his threats, and to protect the children...
Why does she not just leave him? I mean, she could run away at carnival or something. But I don't, like...
She's got a bloody
ticket. I suppose she's nothing with it. He's a crowd puller, isn't he?
Yeah. And he's got the monies.
The moolah.
Yeah. But they're still having to tour as well, so there's a lot of stress on the family because they're having to bring in money. And Grady, he added a couple of twists to his act now, you know, because like he's been around a long time, a lot of people.
Oh, he's going to spice it up a bit, something new.
So he's got to spice it up. So
he jumps in a pot.
He gets a massive tank brought in, filled up with water, which has got live fish in. And now, as part of his show, he dives in the tank, swims around, and catches live fish in his claws.
See, I would fucking pay to see that. I don't care what you say.
I really would. I'd pay good money.
And then...
It's a good family day out,
it
though.
Is. Fun for all the family.
Fucking Disney on Ice. We'd see it lots
of
time.
Put sea life to shame,
I know.
Really.
SeaWorld. Hey, they wouldn't have all this problem with bloody... If they put this in a proper environment, a proper theme park...
Why, instead of a killer whale?
Yeah. Fucking Shamu would be out of business, I'm telling you. There'd be none of this blackfish and all that nonsense.
So, the show it's up and down, and Grady's up and down as well. A lot of the time, he's pissed on stage, you know, and he's sort of... He's getting really bitter now towards the people who come and, like, and he lunges at the crowd and, like, shouts at them and, like, tries to attack them.
Even better!
And,
nuts.
At home, he's, like, sexually abusing his wife now. Says one night he tried to smother her with a pillow, but she sort of woke up and managed to shove him off. And then the following morning... She woke up to find Grady holding a butcher's knife to her throat.
Oh, it's not even for that, is it?
No.
She said, his whiskey breath all over her, saying, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to kill all the family. So...
Kill or be killed, like you said.
She was lay there and she was thinking, oh my God, this can't go on. So he skulked off anyway.
Scurried off.
That's what I imagine him like, this bloke bloody getting about with his pincery hand.
So it's come to a point now where...
You want red?
Mary Teresa, she can't take it anymore. She doesn't feel like she's got anywhere to turn to, and she feels like her only option is to get rid of Grady.
Ooh.
So one night, as Lobster Boy's watching TV in his undies, pissed on his whiskey, Mary Teresa says, "I'm just nipping out, Grady." So she went out. So Grady's in the trailer all by himself now, and he hears a sort of like a tap on the window, and he looks round, doesn't see anyone, doesn't think anything of it. Next thing, bang, bang, bang. 3 bullets in the back of the skull.
Ooh. Bloody hell.
And Grady is dead instantly.
Well, well, well.
Well, that's
not right. So, who's killed him?
Who's killed him indeed? Because she's not there.
No, Mary's gone out. And there's no one else in because they're all in their own little trailers.
Ooh, the mystery.
The mystery. Well, as it would happen, it would appear that there are two possibilities. One possibility was it was someone who will never know who it is.
Yes.
And the other possibility was he was gunned down by a hired assassin.
Ooh. Well.
So who was the hired assassin?
And the plot thickens.
Well, Mary Teresa basically put the word out. She had a word with her son, Blockhead.
Oh,
IQ of 79.
Well, if anyone can sort out a contract killer, it's out Blockhead.
Oh, yeah. I would put all my faith in him. And he's like, "Oh, I don't think I can do it, but..."
I'll have a word. Send out some feelers.
Yeah. So, Mary Teresa gives Blockhead the money and he goes out.
How much are we talking?
I think it was 1,500 quid, which is fuck all for murder.
I think, yeah, we're going to say that's not much of an incentive.
Is that the going rate these days for knocking someone off? 1,500
quid? Well, it was $1,500, so what's that, about 700 quid?
Yeah.
Shit money, that, for murder.
Jesus,
I want at least a grand.
Christ.
Oops. So, after thinking about it, probably for about, a minute or something, you
maybe
know.
Maybe two.
Blockhead comes up with, "I used to go to school with this lad."
All right, yeah.
Christopher Wyantor. I think, yeah, Wyant. He's a bit of a naughty lad. He's
naughty boy.
Sort of said to be hanging around in gangs and,
Bit of a wrong gun.
And he knew him as well because he did some sort of work in the carnival as well, you know, like he was a bit of a sideshow, maybe like a geek or something, biting chickens' heads off and that.
Right.
So he says to Chris Wyatt, "You want to do the job?" He's like, "Hell yeah."
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think Chris Wyatt's quite clever here.
Go on.
Well, also he thought he'd be quite clever, because what he did after he said, "Hell yeah," he took his mate, Dennis Cowell.
Oh, good old Dennis.
Took him for a drive into town.
Yeah.
While they were in town, Chris, for no apparent reason, bought Dennis some black pants, some new Nike trainers, a black and white striped shirt, and a black cap.
So it could be a comedy robber.
He then convinced Chris to drive him five miles away because he said he needed to buy a gun.
What?
Once they get to the town 5 miles away to buy the gun, Chris convinced Dennis that he forgot his ID, so could you fill the paperwork out for the gun? Which he did.
Oh, well, he's a good mate, isn't he? Good mate.
2 days later, also they say, Chris turned up at Grady's caravan in black trainer, black pants, night trainers, a black and white shirt, a black cap, and the gun that was signed for by Dennis.
Oh my God.
Putting Dennis in the frame and every other sports referee in America.
Proper comedy robber's outfit.
Well, like you said, he shot him and then...
I can't believe he tried to stitch his
stitching his mate up, the dirty bastard.
So anyway, all hell breaks loose, probably women screaming.
Who's done it? Oh, what you done? Crying. What you done? Quick, get
so the police get
the giraffes out of here.
The police are called.
Midget's over there.
Right, line up. We want to line up.
So that's starting with a giraffe.
Hey,
and
big
going down for a giant. Yeah. Right, we're
giraffe,
down to midget man.
Giant. Donkey face.
Normal.
Woman with no legs cut in half, probably.
Yeah. Half woman, midget man.
Yeah.
No, half woman's going to be below midget man.
Yeah,
sure,
she's got to be below.
It's not much of a midget then, is
he? Baby at the end.
And,
can you imagine doing police interviews and witness statements?
I know, it'd be hard to keep a straight face.
Yeah, have you got a description of the decision?
Set the scene for the evening. Well, I went to the post office and queued up at the tiny counter and got me money out.
Got me chyro.
I saw a woman, she had a lovely figure, good beard on her.
Then I rode the goat with three legs back home, had me tea with my wife, the hairy woman.
We need some photo fits, don't
we? Need
work.
Some photo fits. Can we get a surrealist? Oh. Artist impressions down here.
Yeah. So the police arrive, PC, not PC.
This is the opposite end of PC this episode.
The guy who's leading the investigation, the detective is the word I'm looking for. Detective Mike Alette. He comes, questions the family. Sort of general questions that you'd ask at this site, like,
where was you?
Have you got any enemies? Who do you think could do this? And, you know, they're sort of, you know, giving sort of standard answers, you know, there's nothing, we can't think of anything.
I was chilling out with the lions.
Yeah, so then the police obviously clean up the scene and do all their investigation and call it a night. You know, there's nothing they can do at that moment. But Detective Mike, he's...
Oh, is he a sharp cookie?
He's a bit suspicious.
Ooh, all too chilled out.
He doesn't believe what they've been telling him. So, a day later...
I mean, his wife didn't believe what she told him when he went home. And, how's your day been, love? Oh, you don't believe my day. I've just been interviewing mule face and bearded bitch.
You're a bit harsh, isn't it? 24 hours later, Mike's back. And first of all, he targets Blockhead.
Oh, yes.
I wonder why.
Sounds like a fucking Transformer.
He's just got nails hanging out his nose.
He really does. I just can't get me around it, no pun intended.
And under my old questioning, Blockhead immediately fesses up and says...
Tells them everything.
Yeah, he tells them everything. So then they arrest Blockhead. They go to Teresa, who then immediately confesses. But then she is adamant it's because of the abuse.
Right.
You know, and she's got a fair point
there.
Yeah,
she can. Yeah, you can see why.
And then Teresa and Blockhead immediately finger Wyan as the shooter. Which, if you were a hired contract killer, you'd be a bit pissed off, wouldn't you?
The people who hired you as well.
Immediately.
Dobbed you in.
But you're going to be lucky for his mate, Donald.
Yeah, you got a pair of new Nikes out of it.
So they have to go to trial, obviously.
Oh.
And
that were a good show again.
Again, like the first trial.
Family stand.
It was a circus. There was Midget Man.
Oh, that jumped through hoops.
There was Kathy the Lobster.
Giraffe with its head through the window.
There was Grady the Third.
Oh, yeah. All outside on ground.
Who made that toilet? Who bung that toilet hole?
Midget Man.
Tell that fucking elephant, get outside now.
There's a tiger running loose down these corridors.
Midget Man, he testifies on Mary Teresa's behalf, saying about the cruelty.
That's why.
Even though it's his ex-wife. Yeah. And then little Grady the Third.
Yeah.
He demonstrates how his dad used to get around on his hands and how he could be really quick and powerful.
Yeah, nippy, huh?
Yeah. Now, there is a bit of underhand.
Underclaw.
There's a bit of underclaw behaviour going on because the solicitor, I don't know what they call them in America.
Lawyer?
Fed rules.
The solicitor for the defence sends out a video of Grady
Graded Junior wrestling with his son.
Oh,
and
yes.
Like toy fighting. But the defence have taken all the sound off this video.
Alright.
And when you remove the sound from the video, it dramatically adjusts what that video shows. And the defence are using this video then as
like he's
a demonstration
him.
Of abuse towards the family.
And with the sound on, what they're all just fine.
But with the sound on, they're all laughing, joking. You can hear Murray.
Go on, claw his ass. Go on.
Nip him.
So.
You couldn't make it up, could you?
The defence are well happy with this because they think they've done it. But they've sent these tapes out to all the media. They've sent them out. They've used them in court. But they sent one copy out that's still got the sound on. So. The one journalist who gets the tape with the sound on, he feels compelled, really. You know, he's covering the case, and he's seen what the defence have done. So then he goes and speaks to the judge and says, I've got a copy with the sound on. So then the judge plays that copy in court.
Just turn it up.
And that swings the whole trial.
Can I watch you without mute? Yeah. Please.
But the point really is, she would probably have been found
innocent,
or certainly only faced a lesser charge because of the abuse, and because there were witnesses to the abuse.
Mm.
But because they doctored the tape, the defence lost all its credibility, and so they got a much more severe prison sentence than they would have done if they'd have just been honest.
Just, there's a lesson, kids. Just be honest.
Just be
tell
honest.
Truth.
Tell truth. Don't tell porkies. Don't tell sound on TV. Because it just presents a whole different picture.
So, as the trial progressed, each individual was given their different punishments. Now, Blockhead, he claimed at the trial that he'd only joined the plot to help protect his mother, but the jury were having none of that, and within the hour they convicted him of first-degree murder, and he got sentenced to life imprisonment without parole for 25 years.
That's not good, is it?
Now, Chris Wyant, the actual shooter, he was convicted of second-degree murder, which is a bit weird when you think he's the one who actually pulled the trigger. But he was sentenced to 27 years in prison. Teresa, who was obviously the abused wife, she only got 12 years for conspiracy to commit murder. I think she only served half of that.
Well, she, in the great scheme of things, she didn't do that much wrong.
Apart from getting someone killed.
Well, yeah, but you were an arsehole, weren't you, Grady?
Well, Maria's...
That makes
to be fair, Buckethead...
Blockhead
has got the worst deal because I'm assuming he's still in prison, is he?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Didn't he call his mate up who were a bit of a wrong un?
Well, I think once it went to trial, she was all about herself and she managed to minimise her involvement at the expense of her son.
Right.
And the guy who actually pulled the trigger.
Dirty bitch.
But she used the abuse as a get out of jail free
like an
card.
Example as to why she shouldn't go.
Yeah,
to
and she basically was just kept saying, you know, my husband was going to kill me and he's going to kill my family. And so I'm sorry for what's happened, but I'm happy because my family's safe now. You know, we'll have to go to prison, whatever, but rather that than be dead.
Of course.
And, you know, I mean, there is some aftermath to this. Now, Grady's son, little Grady, the third.
Now, he knew nothing about it, I'm assuming.
Well, he still disputes the fact that his mum...
Arranged
the murder, you know, even to this day now, where he's like a middle-aged bloke now.
Yeah.
He doesn't think his mum arranged it. He thinks what happened was Grady had got a lot of enemies.
Right. Yeah.
Through being a pisshead and being abusive and annoying, you know, like basically being a rather cantankerous bastard.
I know
that there was nobody who volunteered to be a pallbearer. at the funeral, he was that disliked. Yeah. This day, I know we talked about him being really liked, didn't we, before?
Yeah, but can you imagine trying to get fucking six even-eyed blokes to be at Bournemouth? Right, we've got Big Al at the front, we've got fucking Midget Man at the back.
Bully.
He's going to fall out. Put your weight, you bastard. There he is, put this.
Coughing a bit.
Put it on your shoulder, what are you doing? Just give it to fucking Giant, let him carry it in. Grady, little Grady believes the abuse was overheard on the night in question. The abuse was overheard from the caravan and Teresa went out and said something really needs to be done. And one of whoever came in and shot Grady. Now,
so he thinks it wasn't as
he doesn't think it was premeditated. He thinks it was someone overheard Teresa and thought, I'll fucking do away with him. Well, that seemed a bit weak to me.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, obviously he was, you know, he wants to defend his mum. He loves his mum. His dad's a bastard to him. So he's just trying to look after his mum, really, isn't he? But there was also, there was a mixed reaction to his death. A lot of people, a lot of the freaks remembered him as being like a good businessman who really helped them out. You know, like certainly in his younger days when he didn't drink as much. You know, he went from just being part of a freak show to owning his own freak show and employing other people. Like you said, Chris, he had his 10 for 1.
10 in 1!
Yeah,
10 freaks, 1 tent. Roll up, the bum-faced child.
And Jeannie Tamani, wife of Al the Giant, she was very bitter towards Murray for having Grady shot.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, she's, you know, and
He might have been shagging her as well.
Yeah.
Pinching
her. Like she said, all she had to do was walk away. You know, she'd done it once before.
Yeah.
Why could she not do it again? Why, you know, he didn't have to die.
He were a cantankerous old bastard, that's why. He needed ridding.
Get rid of the old...
You know. And there's a quote from Jeannie, which is quite...
You have 3 wishes.
Quite nice.
Choose wisely.
Yes. I don't have any legs or much of anything going for me. But if anyone gives me a hard time, you better know I'll be out of there. Good on you.
Rolling downhill.
Yeah, bumping along.
And now she sells bait.
Now she sells bait.
Oh, fishing bait. Oh, yeah, they had a bait shop,
yeah,
didn't they?
Well, she still sells it.
Oh, maggots.
Hey, good on her. Well, what an endearing tale.
Mm. Okay. And the family now, they're still performing. Grady the Third. Still does a bit with the carnies. We're in 2016. We've still got the freak shows rolling along in America.
Yeah, and also they've done some film work as well.
Oh, yeah, I saw that Kathy. Yeah, Kathy took up a bit of acting.
Yeah.
She was in Carnival.
Yeah.
She was in that and also Tim Burton's Big Fish.
Big Fish, yeah, that was the one.
It's just not the way I die. I saw him in the eye.
Very good.
So Grady was put to rest in the showman's section of the Sunset Memorial Gardens in Thonotosassa in Florida.
Oh, know it well.
You know
it well.
Thonotosassa.
Back of me hand, Thonotosassa.
Oh, yeah.
Thonotosassa.
Back of me claw.
What I would really recommend to our listeners, if you get a spare 10 minutes, just... go on YouTube or go on Google, go on, you know, Google Images.
Go on the blog.
Go on our blog.
Yes.
Blogging it up,
I would really recommend to our listeners, go on our blog. Because that's what you do when you're like a young, up-and-coming, thrusting business type.
Yes, blogging it up,
blog us and have a look at all these people because... You know, it never gets old, does it, the freak show?
They're really nice to look at.
It never gets old.
I'd go.
I'd still go, without a doubt, and I wouldn't just go to laugh at them either. I'd go because it's an appreciation of the human form.
Yeah. Ripley's, believe it or not, thriving.
Elephant Man, would you go and have a look at him?
Yeah, why not?
Tickle his warts.
With his great big head. Oh, he was a nice, the Elephant Man.
He was nice, yeah. I feel that's why I'm... Yeah.
That's his noise.
I thought so.
I think, well...
You could join a freak show,
better
Chris.
Better than... That's not very nice. It's better than being hidden away in exile. It probably gives a bit of... And like you said, you know, Grady felt
They're celebrated rather than like quashed.
He made a fortune.
He got a bit of fanny.
Yeah. Got loads of gaps by the sounds of it.
Oh, God. He were reeling.
Nipping away.
He reeled them in, didn't he, every time?
He was clawing all over the bloody place on tour. Bloody claws on tour. claws on tour, 45. Having it large.
Imagine him going Magaluf with t-shirts.
We're having it big time. Claws and crab sticks are us.
We're reeling them in.
Enough of this madness.
Oh, that was good. I liked him. I enjoyed that.
It was good.
It was an interesting story, to say the least.
It was, yes.
Unusual, but I quite like this unusual theme.
Yeah. So there you have it. And we are the Penny Mortis. Any last words?
Well, like we just mentioned, we've got the blog up.
We've got a blog now.
Which we're going to put some information on there for each episode, some of this stuff.
We've got our Twitter or our Facebook.
Yeah, we're going to have some pictures, maybe some videos and stuff like that up for each episode. So you can check it out. It's www.thepennymortos.com, I think, or .co.uk. Check it. I don't know, I can't remember.
Google it. What's our email address? Pennymortos@gmail.com.
Has anyone checked it recently?
Yes, I check it on a daily basis.
Do you? And no one ever emails us?
Never.
Come on, you miserable bastards.
Email us. Apparently fax is in these days, so nobody's emailing.
Or send us a letter.
Send us a letter, yeah.
Stamped address.
If you write us a letter...
Nobody knows our address, so they can't write us a letter.
No, if they write us a letter, and then I'll give them an address to send it to. But they've got to write it first. And show a bit of dedication.
Ah, right, okay.
That sounds like...
That's a challenge. If you write us a letter, and then...
Tweet us a picture of it, front of it.
Yeah.
Or whatever, do a Facebook.
Tweet us, if you want any stickers, let us know, we'll send them out.
And we'll give you an address.
Yeah.
That's it, I think.
That's it, very good.
Very good.
Roll up, welcome to the Freak Show. We'll be back soon with some more pincers and... Small dicks
penises.
And big dicks and face-dogged...
Bum faces.
Zebras.
Right, come on.
Bye.
We'll see you later. See you next time. It's been lovely. It's been jubbly. See you in a bit. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be rising for the Penny Mortis. No, sir.
Kibaddy, 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 kibaddy.
I hope kibaddy has changed for the worse.
It's gone downhill, kibaddy.